When I saw that young man limping out there at the airport that day, I just said, what's wrong? He said, well, I was in a car wreck and I had a bunch of steel put in my leg and I'm in pain. I've seen the Lord do this. I know he can do it again. I have seen him do it with Johnny Brumfield. I know he can do that. I know that my God, when he says, nothing is impossible with me, I believe that. Don't you? And if you do, you get to see the glory of God. But if you don't, how much doubt can you and I have in our heart? James 1, 6, and 7. I want to show you that. You got to see this. Look at this. James 1, 6, and 7. But let him ask in faith. How much wavering? Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So if you don't believe that your king, my king, our king, can do what we ask him to do, you're wavering. And if you go out of here saying, oh, I hope I get healed, you ain't going to get healed. There was no faith in what you did. You're going to have to believe with no doubt in your heart. And the majority of the church, you have no idea how often I hear this. Well, I prayed for you. Do you believe you're healed? Yep. It's written. I believe it's done. I said, okay. But just like the lady yesterday. But what about my disobedience to my doctor? My doctor told me not to walk without these crutches. I thought, did you believe you were just healed or not? If you believed you were healed, that's just like I told Johnny Brumfield the night when I started to lift him up and he said, oh, Thurman, it hurts, it hurts. I said, I know it hurts. I know the enemy's not going to let us get out of this with no pain. I know how he works, but I said, don't believe the beast. I said, take a step. And of course, Johnny would never have taken that step on his own because he was hurting too bad. He was standing up, but he would have never taken that first step. So I done him just like Peter did the guy at the gate. I just said, come on. I jerked him. He couldn't do nothing but take a step. And then I did it a second time and a third time. And after he took three steps, he knew he was healed. And so I turned him loose and I said, you can walk, Johnny. Sir, I didn't even know his name at that time. I said, you can walk. I turned him loose, walked around that podium three times, got faster and faster, and then broke and ran all the way to the back of the church and then back to the front, screaming with his hands up, God is awesome. And today that man is still totally, completely healed. But the question I asked him, I said, sir, it is written in John 14, 13, 14, I can ask the Father in the name of Jesus for anything. Do you believe that? And I'll never forget what that man said. I am a Southern Baptist. And if it's written in that book, I believe it. That's a bold faith that God's looking for. There was no hesitation in his heart, his speech. I am a Southern Baptist. And if it's written in that book, I believe it. I said, sir, that's the kind of faith our God's looking for. And I prayed the prayer of faith for him, and he gets up and runs off. Johnny's still walking and running and playing today. But it was a couple of years later when we were going to take him out to GLC and do his testimony when we had to land down here south of Dallas because of a humongous storm in Odessa that day. And while we were sitting there, I noticed him kind of wiggling around a little. I said, Johnny, you're okay? He said, well, I have a little pain once in a while in my legs. So I knelt down in front of him, put my hands on his legs, and I said, you know, Lord, I didn't ask you to turn all that steel into bolts. He said they had a bunch of stuff in his legs. So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to turn all those steel bolts and steel plates and rods and screws or whatever they put in him back into flesh and blood, and everything will be normal. Where Johnny will never have to have another pain in the name of Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. Well, we took him back to Manny, Louisiana. And then a few months later, what it was, we went and got him again, took him out there. And this time when we were out there, I asked him, I said, Johnny, you had any more pain in your leg? He said, not a pain. The first time I told the story about Ruth and Lisa, I don't know if Roy remembers it or not, but my good friend Roy back there, he was in my Sunday school class. I was still a Baptist deacon and a Baptist Sunday school teacher. Do you remember that day, Roy? I was telling the story about Ruth and Lisa. And of course, I wasn't even a pastor of a church or nothing. I was just a deacon in the Baptist church and a Sunday school teacher. And they came to my Sunday school class over here in Justin. So I was telling the story. And just as I was telling the story, all of a sudden Roy interrupted me and said, "Thurman." I said, "Yes, Roy." He said, "I guess you're fixing to tell me that you commanded that steel to turn to flesh and bone, didn't you?" I said, "That's exactly what I did." And he said, "I guess you're going to tell me it did." I said, "It did." He said, "How do you have such faith?" I'll never forget that day. You don't remember that, Roy? Oh, my goodness gracious. "How do you have that kind of faith?" he said. I said, "Well, I just get the word, Roy. I just believe God." It's awesome, isn't it, Roy? We serve an awesome God. But when we go back to that 1 Corinthians 3, the scripture we had there a while ago in 21 through 23, what is it that belongs to you and I as sons and daughters of God? Everything. He didn't leave out nothing, did he? He even lists them. Did he list them? Let's go back there and read that one more time. 1 Corinthians 3, 21, 22, and 23. "Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." All things. And then he lists them. The world is yours. Life is yours. Death is yours. Things present or things to come. All are yours. I mean, the average person in church today does not even know that verse. And then when they read it, they don't believe it. Everything belongs to us as sons of God. It is written. Is that what that says? Do you believe that?
Yes.
You believe that? Isn't that amazing what is written? Scott, do you believe that? All things belongs to me. So should I ever grumble and complain about anything?
No.
What belongs to me?
Everything.
Everything. Everything belongs to me. Everything. Wow. I got really tickled or blessed, or whatever you want to call it, a while ago. Tom said, the pastor of the church, he goes to another church in the mornings, and he said that his pastor made an announcement from the pulpit just a few weeks ago, or a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was, that he had been diagnosed with prostate problems. And so he wanted the church, all those that would, to come and pray for him in a service. And so during the service, they did this. And Tom said, of course, he went down and prayed for him. And when he went down and prayed, this man knows how to pray in faith.
Amen.
He prayed in faith. And then when he got through praying, he told him, he said, "Pastor, it's done because I prayed for you." Well, I guess it was this morning. This morning, the pastor had a good report. He went back to the doctor and he's okay. Isn't that something? Now, how many men of faith does it take praying for you? Only one. But it takes one. And see, the Lord said in his word, for those that intercede in today, there's only one in how many? 1,000 that can intercede for you. That don't say much for us in the church. That don't say much for... But Tom's one of those 1 in 1,000. He prayed that prayer of faith and guaranteed his pastor, because I prayed for you, you're healed. God shows up for faith, doesn't he? He shows up for faith. Now then, let's go to 1 Peter 1:13. Let's start with 13, and we'll read right down through that. Let's just... NLT will be okay. It doesn't matter. Yeah, NLT. Let's do that in the NLT. 1 Peter 1:13 through 25. And let's see maybe why these things don't work for some of us and some of us they do work for. It says, "So think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the special blessings that will come to you at the return of Jesus Christ." The special blessings that's going to come to the obedient children of God. And of course, you know, that could be much quicker than some of us think. You know, I don't know why it is. It seems like when we start getting a little older, when we learn these things, we think he's coming in our lifetime. And if you happen to be like my daughter, when I used to talk about this could be the year the Lord comes again, she said, Daddy, I don't want the Lord to come this year. I want to live my normal life and raise my family, and then when I get old, I want him to come. Well, it didn't happen like that for her. He came for her when she was 24. You know, but she had a dream. She wanted to live and raise her family, but she didn't get to. She only lived to 24. So he says there, think clearly and exercise self-control. Is that a pretty good chore? Exercising self-control? I'm telling you, something to think about. But God tells us to exercise self-control. So what belongs to us? All things. Does self-control belong to us? Yeah, you have the right to be in self-control or to be out of control. You know, you can do it either way, can you not? You know, now how many of you in this room, I'm going to put every one of us on the spot. How many of you in this room have been out of control a time or two in your life? Okay, the rest of you didn't hold up your hand, you're lying. We are human beings, are we not? You know, so don't be ashamed to say, yes, Lord, I've been out of control. I mean, I've done it far too many times in my life. But I know that I have that power within me, but sometimes I forget. And I go back to my fleshly ways. And when I do, I can lose it. You know? But it's only when I allow the flesh. I mean, the enemy works on me, sure, but I have to agree with him before this can happen. You know that? I mean, the devil can come to me and do anything he wants to, tell me anything he wants to, but I have to agree with him before he can do that to me. He has no power over me until I agree with him. And that's just like God. God won't do anything on this earth until you agree with him. When Tom agreed with the Lord in prayer over that pastor, God heard his prayer and answered that prayer and healed that pastor. Now, isn't that amazing? Now, I'm going to be pretty sure, I don't know how much of a faith church that he goes to, but I'm going to be willing to almost bet if Tom hadn't been there that Sunday, that pastor wouldn't have been healed today. I believe that strong, that you prayed the prayer of faith that strong, that God heard your prayer, because lots of times people are praying, but you ask them when they get through praying, do you believe he's healed? They'll say, well, I sure do hope so.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, All Things Are Yours, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.